This is a spiritual reading being given for Lynn Richardson on Saturday, the 23rd of March 2024 in Victoria, Australia by John Rawson. We stand within the Hall of Memory. The Book of the Soul is given into our hand, and we perceive the Book of the Soul slightly differently from the last time that we entered in. The cover is still deep blue, radiating out from the centre, light in the centre, and deep indigo blues at the edge, indicating that the soul first came into incarnation at the directive of spirit, and the purpose of the soul was to be a link between heaven and earth, to be a bridge so that souls who had fallen into forgetfulness in the earth incarnation could once again cross over and return to their original state, or at least be given memory back. And we see the individual doing this in different incarnations. In Greece, about 400 years before Christ, in a male body this time, she was a teacher in the Orphic mysteries, the mysteries of Orpheus, who was the great musician and so symbolized the bridge, the return to heaven. And just as Orpheus descended into the underworld to recover his beloved, so the Orphic mysteries took souls into the darkness and then led them back into the light. And you were, in that incarnation, a guide with a particular name for that guide in the mysteries of Psychopompus. A psychopompus, which really means a leader of souls. And you had a double life in that incarnation, because when you weren't active in the mysteries, you were, what would we call you, minor official in the sort of in the government. You dispersed money to different people. You were like a combination of an accountant or a bookkeeper and an administrator. So you combined those two roles, and it was your job there to make sure that the destitute were cared for in some way, so some money went to that. And then you had to you were responsible for the city's corn store, which might sound trivial, but actually it's what got many of the people through the winter. And you would allocate the corn to and the wheat different people. So that on the one hand, you had a very down-to-earth existence, and on the other hand, you had an incredible spiritual life, and only those who were initiated into the mysteries knew both sides of you. And Lynn, in a sense, the free priesthood is an echo, a reflection of those days where, on the one level, you will lead and outwardly seeming ordinary, sedate life where you will look after your physical needs, your financial needs. You'll have friendships with people around you, you'll have relationships. And even though your work will develop more and more into the clairvoyant levels, nevertheless, the true spirituality will be only visible to those who also have been initiated into the mysteries. Not into the mysteries of Orpheus, of course, because their time has passed, but into the mysteries of Golgotha, the mystery of the Christ. And ordination, in a sense, is a great initiation as well, because in that connection with Christ, in that connection with the order of Melchizedek, there is a surrender and a giving up and a fading away of the old personality. A surrender in the sense, not that you surrender your individuality, that can never happen, but that one surrenders perhaps one's desire for what we might have needed in life, and that can be many things. Perhaps it's fame, perhaps it's wealth, perhaps it's to be the centre of attention, perhaps it's to have a loving relationship, perhaps it's to have children, perhaps it's to have a beautiful home. All these longings that are important to us when we are much younger, they fade, and you would have experienced this, until in the end the desire really is to be a servant. Now, a servant is not a menial. A servant is, how can I put it, one who enables or empowers a directive. There's a story in the Gospels about the centurion who came to Jesus because his child was dying, and Jesus was going to come to his home. The centurion or the officer said, no, I'm a man of authority. I know what it is to say to a servant, one servant, do this, go there, and to another servant, come here. So you don't need to come with me, Lord, just say the word and I know my child will be healed. And Jesus marvels at this and he says, not even in the land of Israel have I found faith like this. And what that means is that when one becomes a servant of the powers of Christ, of the higher powers. One becomes, in fact, a messenger. Now, we can look at that word in various ways. Why would you be a messenger? Well, you would be a messenger if you were carrying good news, or if you were carrying from the spiritual world, you see, news or information to another soul. The other soul doesn't have access to contact with the beings of this realm, so that they need the messenger. And the role of messenger, I think, the role of servant, the role of messenger becomes more and more who you are in the days and the weeks and the months and the years to come. And here's another interesting thought, that in Greek the word for messenger is angelos, which became in our English language the word angel. So it will become your role, your work in life, to be the angel for people. And angels in the New Testament and in the Old are messengers of God, messengers of the divine. And so again, you will become a bridge in this incarnation for many souls. And I see that your first question is, does my future work involve the new clairvoyance and energy work? Well, of course it does. Once you've become connected to the order of Melchizedek, then the process of dissolution of the old self continues at a much greater rate. And one doesn't come to ordination without a long period of trial. And very often, and I think it would be the situation in your case, that period of trial involves energies entering in and rearranging old energy systems, so that the person who's been initiated or ordained into the order of Melchizedek has to have certain channels and certain centers within the subtle bodies purified, cleansed, unblocked. And in our modern world, where we're not able to go into a monastery or a convent, retire from the world and work on ourselves with the ancient disciplines, in our modern world, where there's not that opportunity for most of us to focus on developing our spiritual being, those energies work in terms of ill health. So I'll be more specific, I think, later on, but the last 2 or 3 years would have been probably a very trying period in terms of health, as the purification of the different energy levels progresses. And that purification is coming to an end. So, yes, to answer your second question, I think you can expect your health to improve. And there are all sorts of things that you can do to assist the process. And as you know, from level 3 of the Wise Art, we discuss the disciplines of Qigong and mental movement of energy throughout the system. And these very ancient disciplines are designed precisely to spare the individual the dysfunction that comes with new energies having to force their way into the system, into the life. So one can adopt these practices, or one can allow nature to take its course through illness and physical dysfunction and discomfort. But the energies are set in motion, and one way or another, they'll certainly come into manifestation in the years to come. Back to the book, and I see the title, which before was given as The Commander, is given slightly differently at this time. It's given as The Traveller, which is interesting because The Traveller is the name of, or the title of, the purpose for this incarnation, which indicates two things to me. One is that, one is another life. You probably had lives where you travelled around, and I see you've asked about lives in Japan, and we'll come to that shortly. But what is very important is that there, in this incarnation, there's been a movement, perhaps not on a physical level, but very much on an individual level, that you've come from an old place, an old consciousness, and you've travelled into a new one. But as the verse that was given remarks, that the end of all this exploration and the end of the travelling is to return home. So ultimately, you have achieved the purpose of this incarnation, which was to return home after a huge journey around life, but you return home to your connection with the priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek, and the sealing that was given to you in Atlantis, where you were sealed for future generations, that sealing has achieved its purpose, that you have become able to handle the physical world, to think, to plan, to work things out logically and with reason. And so, in this incarnation, the spiritual energies that were bound then are now being released, are being unsealed. And of course, that happened, that process started to happen months, if not years, before the ordination. And exactly the centres that were unsealed, as we will see, they would probably correspond to areas where health and physical experiences have been much more difficult. Well, we'll open the Book of the Soul to this incarnation, and I'll describe the aura colours, which probably haven't changed very much because it's only 2 years since your last reading. But there is a change, not so much in the colours themselves, but in the energy levels. Everything's been stepped up a level, and within the aura there is a spiral, an upward spiral, which indicates that the person is walking on the spiritual path, not just a spiritual path, but their spiritual path. And for each of us, the spiritual path is quite unique. So you have found yours. And this path winds in a spiral, so that there are lots of experiences that you will return to and see from a completely different perspective over the years to come. There's a revisiting. Spirituality doesn't mean, or being on a spiritual path doesn't mean that one cuts oneself off from the past, because the past has made us who we are. So we should be grateful to our past, even the painful, traumatic and embarrassing experiences. We have learned from them, and that's why we're moving upwards. The first colour is light red, and the light red colour is the colour of the etheric, and the the way the aura, especially the light red, sets, it's like a brush, if you like, with the bristles pointing downwards, which indicates that the vitality has been reduced. But I don't see that there are any hindrances to an increase in the energy levels and an increase in the inner vitality in the time to come. The light red, if it's expressed, and light red is the colour of warmth and of engagement. So I hope in the years to come you're going to find ways of getting out into the community and engaging with people, that you're going to interact with a lot of people. And that might be because you're going to be doing readings for people. And we know that you have a very strongly developed sense of spiritual sight. And if you proceed to work with this, to use it to help other souls, then it will become stronger. And if you understand that you are the servant and not the master, not the magos, not the seer, not the prophet, but the servant, that you are acting as a bridge with people, then indeed you are open more and more to the insight of Christ, the new clairvoyance flowing through. And there are three ways that one can determine whether one is expressing the new clairvoyance. And the first of all, one sees self clearly. And if you don't see yourself clearly by this time, by doing three levels of wise art and having 60 plus years on this planet to learn, and by engaging in all the spiritual practices that you've done, I definitely think you can say that you have met yourself, you've seen yourself for who you are. And then the second hallmark, the new clairvoyance, is that one perceives Christ. And that may well be that you perceive Christ in his etheric form. But it also can mean that you see Christ in your life. You see Christ at work in your life and the life of those around you. And the more that you see Christ around you, working with you, in walking beside you in every moment of every day, then the more that when you sit across from another soul, the more you see Christ working in them. And that is definitely the new clairvoyance at work. And the third sign that you are expressing the new clairvoyance is that you don't really want to do it. That it becomes not a, how can I put it, an experience that is not something that you necessarily get a buzz out of, or that you feel good because you're being psychic or clairvoyant or doing a reading for people, but rather because you are a servant, you feel you have to do it because you've been asked to do it. So that the desire for eminence, status, if you like, to be a great clairvoyant, to be a great tarot reader, to be a great astrologer, to be great anything, that desire dissolves. And when that desire dissolves, then paradoxically, then the gift is given. And one's insight opens up and flowers because the very last of the blockages of the inner levels are taken away, dissolved. So sure, your future work should always involve the new clairvoyance. Make use of your talents and your gifts and that spiritual insight, that psychic openness that you have, very rare, very unusual. So you definitely need to make use of that. Oh, we're discussing the aura colours, weren't we? Well, light red is the first colour. Light yellow-brown is the second. And then, interestingly, I think this is different from the previous aura chart, blues as a third colour. Blues all around you. And when you have blue around you like that, it indicates that the spiritual worlds are pressing on you. And that can mean that you feel, well, to be honest, it can mean sometimes you feel depressed. You don't feel very good. You can feel quite ill at times. You can have days where you feel listless and not able to do anything. And it also, because blue is, how can I put it, both sensitive and refined, I suppose is the best word, that it's difficult sometimes to embrace old relationships with old friends and with family. It's not that you don't love your family or love your friends, it's that being with them causes a sort of disjunction, a sort of inner vibration that you find upsetting. It's like a discord in music. It's not an easy feeling. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't get together with these people. Of course you should. And you will find that you will cope with this feeling by becoming a bit more objective, less involved on the emotional level with other souls. And it's interesting because one needs to be objective in order to assist others spiritually. You can't sit across from someone and hear their problems and involve yourself with them on an emotional level, because in so doing you lose the ability to see clearly, and to see clearly one needs to be on a different level, one needs to go to a higher level. That's why you're a servant and a messenger, because you're not on the level of the great spiritual powers, but you're not on the level of the physical world either, but you're in between. And you need to be able to go into that in-between region in order to be able to observe what's going on and eventually, of course, give advice and assist and guide other souls. And I think more and more that you will assist other souls in coming alive, just as you did in that incarnation where you were the leader of the initiates, the leader of those who died, metaphorically speaking, and you led them out in the mysteries, you led them out of the depths of the earth into the light. And our society, in our society, most people live in the depths of the earth, in their consciousness, I mean. They have very little idea of spiritual reality. They live, as Plato would say, inside a cave. And there inside the cave, they're looking at a fire, or there's a fire behind them. And the fire casts shadows on the wall of the cave, and they perceive that as their reality. Very few people ever get to step outside the cave into the sunlight, but you have stepped out of the cave. You have stepped into the sunlight. And when you go back into the normal world, into the sensory world, into the world of material existence, you want to tell people about the sun, but of course they can only see shadows. They've got no idea what the sun could be that you want to tell them about. And so in the end, you have to help them work through their own illusions and realize that the light by which they are seeing their life is an imitation light. I think I'd put it like that. We have very clear understandings in our Western culture about what life is all about. Life is all about being successful in a number of areas. Looking good, that's a big one. Dressing one's appearance, that's a big one. Having lots of money. Who doesn't want lots of money? What can we do with lots of money? That's a big one too. Traveling around, getting around, seeing things, indulging one's sense of curiosity, that's a big one. Developing a home, building a home, creating a home, buying a home, that's an enormous one. Having children, huge. Work. Oh yes, work is very important in our culture. Marrying, having a relationship, yes. Then there's an area that we skip over because it's very uncomfortable, and that's the area of death. And so that in our material society, death is an ending. Nothing happens after death. So we skip over that really quickly. And so on and so forth throughout life. Now, I've stopped at the death segment because it's actually death is the great awakener. And I can see that in the years to come that you will be able to lead people gently into different insights about what life is all about. So that's the blues in the aura. Greens around the hands, very good for healing, by the way. Browns around the feet, you will make definitely good, clear decisions about where you are going, where you're walking within your life. So trust your instincts on this. Light reds or roses are actually around the throat area. That's interesting. That can indicate that in this incarnation you've been susceptible to other forces entering into your will. Might be a partner, might be a parent, entering in, putting their own will inside you because of that very sensitive aspect. And it should indicate that your will also, your will levels will become stronger and clearer in the years and the time to come, now that the energies of ordination have entered in. And by the way, it takes at least a year for what was given at ordination, that power, to condense, so to speak. First of all, it's like an enormous cloud that surrounds you, and gradually it becomes more condensed and it contracts until it contracts into your heart center, and from there it begins to radiate out through the other spiritual centers, which takes normally about 7 years. So, as the Romans would say, festina lente, make haste slowly, don't be in a hurry, don't force things, allow life to develop in this cyclic, circular, spiral rhythm. Purples from the shoulders, which of course represent the connection to the priesthood, and I've used the term the bridge. The bridge is also a symbol of the priest, because the priest is a mediator between one level of consciousness and another. And more and more you're going to be able to express this vocation of mediator, of bridge, out in the world. Within the head, orange, and the vortex also is orange. And I think that's really interesting, because I have a suspicion that when we did the first reading some years ago now, that you probably had a lot of rose in your aura. But the rose seems to have diminished, and rose, of course, is incredible sensitivity, psychic awareness, insight. Ashes, lots of spiritual experiences within the life. But it's interesting that as time has gone on, that the rose has actually not dissipated exactly, but it's transformed more. I'm not quite sure what the rose is transformed into. I think in one sense it's transformed into the blues, so that you have acquired so much more spiritual understanding and knowledge on your path in this incarnation. So purples, the priesthood, and you've asked about incarnation in Japan. Well, of course, you've if you thought about it, it's happened because you are in touch with your past lives. And I perceive two incarnations in Japan. The first is about the 15th century, the 1400s. We see you in a male body here, and as I see your middle age, perhaps older, perhaps late 40s, but you look quite old, and you've got a very skinny body with an orange robe, I think it's an orange robe, around you, and you're sitting in a cross-legged position with a begging bowl in your lap, and people are passing by and giving you food or giving you whatever it is I've got to offer. And you were a Buddhist monk in that incarnation. Interestingly, not attached to a particular monastery, but you wandered through Japan a lot. You interacted with the ordinary people, especially the peasantry and the priests in the local villages and the petty officials, and you meditated. Of course, you meditated. You achieved enlightenment in the sense that you had the Satori experience, and so that there was a certain wisdom that developed within that incarnation. And one of the effects of that is that the pituitary gland within the head is stimulated, so that you have the ability to see, to perceive into the spiritual world already there because of the work that you did in that incarnation. Now, you actually got very ill in that life, by the way, because you didn't look after your body. You meditated too much. You didn't bother eating. I'm sure you won't have that problem in this life. But you had to be healed by a Taoist monk. So the Buddhist, as a Buddhist, you went to extremes. Well, you won't do that again. But the Taoist monk prescribed you a certain regimen in terms of breath exercise, working the energies within the body, and also in terms of diet, balancing out the diet so that you didn't become, as our teacher used to term it, too spiritual for any earthly use. This other monk helped you ground yourself, put your feet on the ground and say, give yourself some time. Don't ruin your body by over exercising in a spiritual sense. And perhaps in this incarnation it's good advice to take care of the physical body. Give it a chance to exercise and to develop in terms of diet. And you will remember that the gates of Qi in the level 3 of the wise art. Breathing, very important. Please breathe. Drinking water, sleeping, eating, energy work. And by the way, the more energy work that you do on yourself, the stronger the energy work that you will be able to assist others with. And then finally, of course, meditation, which we would perhaps talk about in terms of devotion. And you know that there are all sorts of devotional practices available to the priest, which can empower and cleanse and purify all the inner levels, which is so significant if you want to live in terms of good health. The orange within the head indicates the connection to the order of Melchizedek, and the orange vortex indicates that Christ has work for you to do. And from your ordination, you become a servant of Christ. We've discussed what that means. But the insight that you had from the incarnation as the Zen monk, Zen Buddhist monk, is with you. And if you allow your own inner insight to open up like a flower, like a rose, as we would say, then more and more you will perceive your own path ahead with clarity and trust your intuition. It is the voice of the Christ speaking within the soul. The cosmic colours are strong at this time. The above the head, greens, a beautiful light, vibrant green above the head. Below the feet, blues, a sort of a, not a dark blue, but a blue with shades of red, almost like an indigo blue below the feet. And that indicates to me that you are entering into the spiritual existence, the spiritual period of this life, that from now on your life will become more and more guided and enveloped by spirit. When we sit with someone who's dying, and I mention this not because you're dying, but because it may well be your job in the future to sit with those who are passing on, we were taught to say to that soul, remember the Christ. Remember the Christ. Because in that transition, the soul has the opportunity to enter into the greater light. And if their attention is focused on Christ, then that's whom they will encounter when they pass over into spiritual worlds. And I think you could use this as your motto in the years to come. The feet are enveloped, your direction is enveloped in this beautiful, luminous, indigo blue cloud. And that means that with every step of your way, you can say to yourself, remember the Christ. And the more that we do this, the more that Christ becomes constant companion and with us every moment of every day, and waking and sleeping even, the more we enter into greater vision, greater insight, greater power. And the greens, by the way, that are above the head indicate healing. So I would anticipate that indeed your health should improve and become stable, and your physical well-being should become stronger in the years to come. The ordination, as I've said, creates something like a cloak of light and power around you, and it gradually contracts, and as it contracts, it influences every layer of the aura. And that means that during that first year after ordination, one can feel buoyed up, lifted up. Our teacher loved the old song, lifted up on eagle's wings, and in a sense the eagle is the symbol of the order of Melchizedek, so that this is a great opportunity to look with the eyes and the vision of the eagle and see your life, your life path, with greater clarity than ever before. The intuitions that you experience at this time are real, but they may not occur at once. You may have to allow them time to evolve so that the energy of ordination contracts until, after about a year, it sits in the heart. And from there, it radiates out. And it radiates in the spiral, as we have talked about at times. And so the two energy centers that are affected there are the will center and the adrenals. And the adrenal center, for example, it's a bit of a mess there, Lynn. It's a bit confused. It's got different colors mixed up together, as though you're going to sort that out fairly soon. The adrenals level is the astral level. It's what we want, it's our desires, it's our emotions. They can be up and down, and in terms of health, it's not good when that is unsettled, because it can indicate problems in the stomach, the intestines, and the general nervous system. Now, as the energy of ordination expands, it will bring your will into balance. So that means that your desires, which is the adrenals, balance out with the will center, the throat center, and you'll be able to articulate with much greater clarity what it is that you personally need to do. Not what other people think you should do, but what you personally need to do. And when that happens, your voice will become more powerful. And you will know this has happened because no longer is it your will that's running the show, but it's the will of Christ. Not my will, but thy will, is the statement made by the Christ before he entered into his final purpose. And then the spirals will expand into the brow center and the etheric center there, which the etheric center is about four finger widths below the navel. It's where the energy is stored. And the etheric center is not happy either, particularly. It's got blues and greens in it, which mean that there are conflicting ideas about what you should be doing with your health. That should be the center from which all energy flows. And again, that center, if it's dysfunctional, that can create problems in the bowel center, the bowel, the intestines, reproductive organs, that whole area. But interestingly enough, that will also, that's also been subject to cleansing, to purification. And over the next 7 years, when the energies of ordination enter into that, your brow center will become charged with new energy, new insight, new perspectives. You'll be able to see further than you ever thought possible. And that will also assist you to carry out your energy work, healing work with people to a much greater degree. Don't forget, before helping others, first help self. It's the old story of the oxygen mask coming down in an aircraft emergency. Don't put the oxygen mask on your child or the person next door to you first. Put it on yourself and then look after the next person. So get yourself, before you go to heal other people and do lots of energy work on other people, make sure that your energy system is full of power, full of energy, that your health is great. And then after about 6 or 7 years, you'll find that the energies enter into the crown center and the gonad center. And all I'll say about that is that it will mean a huge readjustment with your family, with past life, partners in past life, children, parents, etc. A huge releasing from them. You will still love them just as much, perhaps more, but you will find that the links and the chains that bind us to familial relationships just dissolve away. And when that happens, then there's an opening to spirit. And once again, there's a conscious connection with spirit every day. Melody's just reminded me that I haven't given you your over-self. Well, the over-self is very colourful. It's a person who's painting. They're sitting on a ladder, sort of a few steps up. They've been painting, but they're mixing the paints at the moment. And they're mixing all these very colourful paints. It's awesome. All the colours of the rainbow. And you're going... and they're doing this in preparation because they're painting the Sistine Chapel or something like that. So that's a lovely symbol of the over-self, because it means that, first of all, don't rush into things. You're not in a rushing in situation. Respond to what's going on in life, but don't try and push for things to happen. Accept opportunities. So you're mixing up the paints. And these are the paints with which you're going to colour your life from now on. Take time to look at what you want in your life. Take time to look at how you want to express beauty in your life. The reds, the energy, the love element, the oranges, the thinking, connection with people element, the green, the healing, change, transformation, the blues, the uplifting of the souls, the indigos, the connection with the highest regions, and the violets, which is where one enters into the highest regions of consciousness. So take time, mix those paints deliberately with thought about what you want from this life, and you will find that you're creating the most beautiful picture, and people will admire it. You might not be around for them to admire it, but to admire you, but they will admire the work. They will admire the beauty and the love that creates the beauty that you will bring into this world. And to bring beauty and love and paint the pictures in the souls of others, that is the most wonderful Christed task. So shall it be.